The tempo is a little slower than you may be accustomed to hearing, but it's the same song by Celine Dion. It's entitled Because You Love Me, being performed by the great saxophonist Kirk Whalum, and on piano you've been hearing George Duke. The song was written by Diane Warren, and she says that she wrote that song for her father. She was honoring her father through this song. Let me share with you some of the words. For all those times you stood by me, for all the truth that you made me see, for all the joy you brought to my life, for all the wrong that you made right, for every dream you made come true, for all the love I found in you, I'm forever thankful. You're the one who held me up, never let me fall. You're the one who saw me through it all. You gave me wings and made me fly. You touched my hand, I could touch the sky. I lost my faith, you gave it back to me. You said no star was out of reach. You stood by me and I stood tall. I had your love, I had it all. I'm grateful for each day you gave me. Maybe I don't know that much, but I know this much is true. I was blessed because I was loved by you. What a beautiful and powerful song. I'll let you hear some more of it. We have got to hear more of that. Wow. Okay. Back to what George Barner is saying. By the way, Diane Warren, writing that song in dedication to her father, whom she loved. How many of us could say that the lyrics that we just heard, the words we just heard, that I just shared with you, and I didn't share the entire song, I just shared a couple of portions, a couple of passages of that song to you. How many of us could say that this runs true with regards to maybe you and your father? I'm talking about your earthly father. And then how many of us can say that this is definitely true of my relationship with my heavenly father? All right, more about the church outdated, the church model, I should say. Not the church outdated, church model outdated. You know, businesses have business models that they use for growth and expansion. Churches have models that we use for growth and expansion. And George Barna is saying that the church model is outdated. Let's listen some more. See where you agree, see where you disagree. See where you're thinking, okay, let me just give this some more thought.
A lot of people sit in the pews every week, but they never develop their giftings because they don't have a chance to practice. And you never get to be a good, you know, prayer person. You never get to be a good preacher, teacher, minister, leader, anything, but unless you do it, you know, and not everyone's going to go to seminary. So why is that something you encourage?
Well, I mean, one of our studies showed that in the U.S. at least, and it's probably the same or even worse here in Canada, is that 3/4 of all people who regularly attend church have no idea what their spiritual gifts are. Now, how are you going to use and upgrade and enhance your gifts if you don't even know what they are? Mm-hmm. What's going to happen is you become a quote-unquote volunteer because you've got a good heart, you've been told you should serve. You think, yeah, that'd be a good thing to do. So you show up in church, I'm here, put me in the game, coach. And they don't know what position you play. You know, they don't know your gift.
And you don't know either.
And you don't know. You can't guide them any more than they can guide you. And so you're a warm body that's sent out onto the field to play a position. You know, and if it works, great. If it doesn't, we'll shift you another position. And you just keep getting shifted around. And, you know, you're like a casualty of ministry. But again, it goes back to key leadership. When you have leaders in place, they understand, I've got to use my resources effectively and efficiently. People are my greatest resource, that I need to know what they bring to the table. And when they flourish, we flourish. Mm-hmm. That's the only way it works. The only great leadership is always team-based leadership. I never find an organization, whether it's a business, a ministry, a government agency, a nonprofit organization, where there's a solo individual who's leading the place, doesn't need anybody else, doesn't involve anybody else. It's him or her at the top. Everybody else just takes their commands from that individual. That doesn't work. It can't work. There are 4 different types of leaders. You've got to have all 4 working together for it to be ultimately effective.
So what do churches need to be doing differently then to correct that?
Well,
Come on, fix it for
questions?
Me, George. Come on.
Oh, man. One of the things that churches certainly could do better would be to break down what they're doing. We have this fascination with and this love for bigness. Bigness kills us. It kills us. This whole mentality of the megachurch, you know, I mean, there are some wonderful large churches and they do great things. I'm not disparaging that. But when you begin to look at everything that's going on in each individual's lives in those churches, when we go in and we do a congregational study and we look at the individuals and what they're experiencing and not experiencing, one of the tragedies is that we treat everybody as if they're the same. Mm-hmm. Excuse me? Well, you know, if you've got a church of 1,000 people, you have 1,000 unique individuals with different stories, experiences, needs, hurts, challenges, fears, doubts. You cannot say there's a one-size-fits-all approach in ministry that's going to minister to all 1,000 of these unique individuals.
But it's like school, right? You can't teach something that's individual for everyone in the classroom. So
why not?
Why not? Let's hear more about that in just a few.